Good evening, class.
Good evening.
Let us pray and get started with this afternoon's class. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you all the glory, Father God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Moving right along. Yes, indeed. Moving. So tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to go right straight into our lesson. Tonight, we're going to talk about some of the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. As we know, we've covered the teacher in the fivefold ministry gifts. And so now we're going to talk about the apostolic environment. So one of the things, let's go back to our basic script, one of our basic scriptures, and we'll start from there. We go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and I had stopped at a point, but we're going to go right on through to the end of it. Again, it's important that we get the word of God in us and to know what we are talking about. And throughout as we read it, one of the things that Jesus gave us as an example, since he was our example, one of the things he says is that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we have to understand that what we are, these are principles that was laid down, given to us by God to operate in the kingdom the way he set it up. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin right here where we normally start, Ephesians 4 and 4. And right tonight, I just read right on through to probably 23. So just pay close attention to what the Word of God is saying to us. In verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers." Then he began to explain to us why he gave us these fivefold ministry gifts, our fivefold ministry graces. He says he gave them to us for the perfecting of the saints. That's mean maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, our building up of the body of Christ. Every time someone in the kingdom enters into the kingdom is being built up. Every time someone gets saved that's in the kingdom is getting built up. It goes on to say, "Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man," unto a mature man. So we got to go to maturity, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's part of our destiny. We're supposed to come to the same point that he was when he was walking here on earth. If we are being trained in the kingdom, to operate in the kingdom, we're supposed to get to that point. Then in verse 14, we normally stops right there till we get to the fullness, but I want to read a little bit further tonight so we can see some more a part of this apostolic government that the Spirit of God is reestablishing in the church. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we are the body. He's the head. So we need to grow up in him. It goes on to say, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. So, you know, our apostle has been trying to get us to look a little bit past from where we are, and knowing that it's our soul. Well, our mind is part of the soul, so it's our soul that has to be connected to our spirit so that we can operate in the things that God has already provided for us through Jesus Christ. And so until our souls are renewed, we can never operate in the supernatural the way God designed it. And so so that's one of the things that we have to begin to work on and focus on, getting our soul lined up with our spirits so that we can operate in the kingdom the way God set it up. And so one of the ways we can do it, we can take the word of God and begin to meditate it, begin to see what he's saying in the scripture. During this past week, we've had with the supernatural money coming to you, the supernatural prosperity revival that we had. And the main focus was on getting our souls lined up with our spirit so we can know what God has for us. And so the only way we're going to know it is our mind have to line up with our spirit. And the way the apostle explained it to us is that we have to make sure that the valve is open, that the flow can run from our spirits into our minds. And as he ministered scriptures, the word keeps telling us exactly the same thing over and over and over again. It says, verse 17, this I say, and therefore testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So we can go back and we can see when Apostle Paul, you know, one of the things he said over in Romans 12 and he 12 and 2, and he told us, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So we can conform the way the world system is. And then if we conform to the system, the world system, then we cannot operate in the supernatural. Why? Because we've conformed to the way the world acts. But we have to be transformed. Our minds have to be transformed that we might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way we're going to know what that is we by studying and finding out what the Word of God says specifically about every situation. And so as we go on and see what he's saying, he said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. And we've equated hearts, made it synonymous with the soul. The heart in the Bible, when we see it in the Bible, we know that is synonymous with the soul. And so based on our what we has been revealed to us. And so their souls have been blinded. And so there are some things that if you don't begin to see how the kingdom of God operates in from our thinking process in our souls, then we'll never be able to operate in the supernatural the way God designed it to operate. And so we have to, again, and go back and seriously work on our souls. And so it goes on, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work of all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have learned or heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. See, the truth, he is the truth. You say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if he's the truth, then we have to find out how he did it. What exactly what did he do when he was here on earth, and what he did for us to receive and operate in this kingdom. So that means that we have to learn about him. And so, how do we learn about him? Word of God give us specific instructions on how we learn about him. It tells us that we become partakers of God's divine nature by the knowledge that we know of him. So the only way we're going to know how to operate in this kingdom and supernatural beings, we're going to know exactly how he did and what he did when he was here. I'm going to finish reading this, and then we turn back to Ephesians while we're over here. And see, these are some of the things that Apostle Paul he gave it to the church at Ephesus, but he also passed it down to us. And, you know, since Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. So what he's saying to the Ephesus church back then, he's also speaking those same things to us now. And so we are in the now. So same thing that happened to them, he's telling you, this is how it's done. This is how you operate in the kingdom. And so he tell us, he said, now what you need to do when you don't know something, when you're trying to find out something, or when you want God to reveal something to you, you go to the source and you go to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who help us navigate through this kingdom. And so we go to him. The Apostle Paul here in Ephesians 1 and begin at verse 16. That's an awesome prayer that he gave us here. You know, we'll look at a couple of them. And the Apostle Paul says, you begin to pray. And I know one of the things that Brother Hagin, he operated in the spirit mightily. And he said part of his devotion was that he would pray certain prayers on a daily basis. And so this was one of the prayers. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 was another one. Colossians 1 through 9 was another one of those serious prayers that we pray. How we get to know God, get to know Jesus. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, 16, it's not just by going and reading scriptures and seeing what the scriptures is. Begin to take the scriptures and put them in your life and apply them to your life the way he set it up. This is the way it's done. And so you say Ephesians 2 and 16, 1 and 16, he say, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So not only he asked them to pray this, but he began to pray this for them also. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He says, it goes on to say, there's a prayer now. You can pray these prayers for yourself, specifically for you. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know. See, he said that you might know. See, it ain't about guessing. It's about knowing him. See, and so it says that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. See, we are believers. What is that power that he's given unto us? How we operate in it? And the only way we're going to know how to do it is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is going to begin to reveal to us how to operate in it according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked through Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's that resurrection power. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. So when he got up, that was the power that was given to him. When he got up, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he can now operate in that power that God has provided for him. He goes on to say, he says, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So that means in future worlds, he said he has been given a name that's above every name. So, and that's why when we hear scripture, it says things like, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what he's saying is that, you know, we can take the name of Jesus and we can use that name in every knee, every name that's in heaven, in earth, must bow at the name of Jesus based on what the scripture has said. And so, but in order for us to operate it accordingly, we have to get our souls to know that. We have to get out, you know, we have to know that not just in our, from reading the scripture or memorizing the scripture, we have to know it in every inkling of our being. And so, and so when Jesus told his disciples, he one of the things he told them, and the only way it was going to happen is, and if you go to Luke 24 and 49, and one of the things he told them, he said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued. That means endued. He said endued with power from on high. The power have to come from God. And so that endued, you have to have that power in you all the way through you. I've used the example of a piece of material. And it says a cotton material. At first that cotton was white, but they take a dye, some color dye, red, blue, or black, and they put in that material, and it changed the color from white to blue. That material has been endued with that dye. So the same thing happens to us. We need to be endued with the power of God within us, in every fiber of our being. That means we know what it is, we know how to operate in it, and then we become just like Jesus. We come to that stature, that fullness of stature, who Christ Jesus were. Let's look at another one of these prayers over here in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at beginning at verse 14. And it's Apostle Paul again, the great Apostle Paul. You know, he said, man didn't teach me that. You know, as we're going to get into it and we're going to see it. He said, man didn't teach me this. He said, it was revealed to me by Christ Jesus himself, who's the chief cornerstone. So the chief cornerstone revealed it to the apostle, which, you know, the kingdom is built up on that foundation, upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus had it, then he revealed it to the apostles, and when he revealed it to the apostles come along and impart that to the body of Christ so we can mature in the things of God, have to train and teach us. So here in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, the Apostle Paul began to pray again. He said, for this cause, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. See, that inner man have to be built up, have to be strength. We found out how we can do that. Jude 20 tells us we build ourselves up in our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Apostle tells us that's a direct line into the supernatural when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. So now we're going to get strong in our inner man. There's some things that are going to be able to operate by doing this, by operating in the kingdom. It goes on to say that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. So that covers area. That covers the up, the down, the east, the west, and, you know, cover all areas of it. See, that we may know that. So and that's what the word of God, that's what how God wants us to operate in this kingdom. And to know the love of Christ with passion and knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then once you do that, Then he gets that and first he said, you learn these things. He said, now unto him, Ephesians 3:20, he said, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power which is in us. Meditation scripture for this class is a good one. Ephesians 3:20 be the one for this one. But he's talking, there's a power that's within us because we got Christ. He's on the inside of us. And since he's on the inside of us, we have to go on the inside. As we've been trained and we've been taught, the only way we can be defeated is once we come from on the inside where we are, where Christ Jesus is, and go on the outside and try to operate on the outside. See, and that, so like I say, these are the things that you who are in the body, who God has assigned to this this revelation right now. See, you're in a privileged position right now. You're setting yourself up to operate in the supernatural. You're being trained to operate in the supernatural. You was called by God. You're special. You're just like the children of Israel. They were special in the sight of God. Right now, you're special in the sight of God because he thought enough of you to call you into what he's doing in the earth realm. And he don't just want you to be here. He wants you to be able to operate. Why? He want to manifest his glory in the earth realm. God, you know, and he's going to have to find some individuals who he can operate through so that he can get his glory in the earth realm. We've defined glory. We know what glory is. We've said it. We'll say it again for the people who have not heard. So glory says all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. So what it is he don't have, what it is that he cannot do, what it is he cannot, you know, that he don't have that he can provide for you. And so, therefore he want us to operate in this kingdom. And so if you say, well, how do I stay from the outside and stay on the inside? David knew how to do it. So we find examples in the scripture who was one of those persons who always stayed inside. And you go to an awesome scripture like Psalm 91 and talk about he that dwelleth in a secret place. And then he tells you all these things. Turn over there right quick. Like I say, you have to be able to see it. And when you see it, then you can say, okay, well, there was one. If he did it, if God had did it for him, then he can do it for me also. So turn over to Psalm 91 and watch how David put this when he tells us about what happens when you stay in this secret place. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's an inner thing. That's on the inside. That's staying there. See, that's not coming on the outside. That's staying, you know, in that place, in that secret place of God and where God is, and not coming on the outside and trying to do it on yourself. And you only can do that in your soul, in your mind, in the process. And so the Apostle Paul tells us ways we can do that. He said, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He said, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and on his wing shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So we have to operate in truth. We have to know what truth says. See, and again, I've told you in this class that any truth always can override the facts. No matter what the facts are, you can take the truth and override that. So we know what the truth is, and then we can the facts. And you know, even though it's facts, it may be a fact that you got a bad report. But when you find out what the truth, and the truth is what the Word of God, Jesus said, what did he say? I am, you know, the truth and the light. And so you find out what he said about it, and that's what the truth is, and then we operate accordingly. And so we go into the truth, and we stay there. He goes on to say, he says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by night. Sound like Isaiah 41:11 to me. Fear not, But I'm your God. He said, yeah, I'm going to help you. Yeah, I'm going to hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So he goes on. He just explains. He tells us, you know, things like, you know, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And so where's that spirit of fear? That spirit of fear is in your mind up here. And so when, you know, adversity, life situations come at you, the first thing the enemy is going to try to do is deceive you. And when he deceives you, you get in fear. And when you get in fear, you cannot operate in faith. See, and so, like I say, we have to know. We have to get to a point that we know. We have to know exactly what God is saying and how to operate in this kingdom. He goes on to say, well, you know, and so if, yeah, but even if you didn't do nothing, but just one day just sit there and read Psalm 91, and you find out that nothing can touch you once you get to that point. See, he said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, not for the arrow that fly by night, not for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, not for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Then he goes on, he said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but they shall not come near you. And so, you know, and for instance, you know, and so, you know, sometimes we have to have boldness sometimes. And I know when this last flood that came into this area, and, you know, houses was getting flooded everywhere. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, I've learned, God said, you got to be sometimes you got to be just a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And so you have to use what God has given to you. I mean, we could have sat there. I got off work that Monday, and I was coming home, and all my neighbors, they was out. They was, you know, it was running around. It was, you know, it was in a frantic. And so when I got in my house, I asked my wife, I said, what's going on? They said, well, they say the water's coming this way. Bayou Francois is going to overflood, and everything in here is going to flood in this area. The whole neighborhood is going to flood. And so she said, are you leaving? I said, no, I'm going to stay. I said, because I'm going to take the name of Jesus, and I'm going to put me a bloodline right here. And I'm going to say this water ain't going to come up to here. And so I marked my point. I just took it and I did it. And when I did it, you know, and you know, everybody left the neighborhood. My wife and I and my daughter, we stayed at the house. And I took it. And like I say, he's given us his name. He said, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So I just made that confession. I said, water cannot come to this house because there's a bloodline there, and the water cannot. No enemy can cross that bloodline. And so, you know, I sat there and it got to a point where I marked the line at. It got right, almost right up to it. I got pictures and everything of it. And, but it got to that point, and it got no closer. You know, and my neighbor's house over here got flooded. One over there got flooded. One behind me got flooded. But it did not come near. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, they said it was dark in the place. But in Goshen had light. See, and so therefore, you know, somewhere along the line, we have to get to the point that the supernatural comes, and we cannot be touched by the things of this world system. And that's what God said, I want you to that point that you can operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. See, and so he goes, and, you know, I'm going to read right on through Psalm 91. I'm going to finish. He's saying, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Fret not thyself by evildoer. He said, for they shall be soon cut off. See, that's evildoer. He said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Well, you know, there's a word. Well, another one of our meditation scriptures the apostle has given to us over in John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me. He said, and my words, see, that's right here. That's the scripture. And my words abide in you. Then you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, I mean, you know, shall is a powerful word. And so since it says shall not, you know, shall be done unto you, you know, and these situations, these deceptions that the enemy try to throw at us who are in the kingdom, we can counter his attacks by putting truth on it. It goes on to say, let me read a little bit further. I'm going to give you some notes in a minute. But anyway, you say, because I has made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, their habitation. There shall no evil. Oh, my goodness. No evil. He said, no evil befall thee. Why? We are in the secret place. That's that portal from heaven. We are in an apostolic government where God said, I designed it for you to operate in, and nothing can touch you. He goes on to say, even the Most High that happens, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the serpent, upon the lion, and on the adder, and on the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under thy feet, because he has set his love upon me. He did. You know, God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So he have already, he provided, he showed me his love, you know, through Jesus and what he did for me. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Soteria, that's that word salvation. Showing my prosperity, showing my protection, showing my plans. God said, that's who I am. That's what I will do to them that love me. Let's go in and look at some of this apostolic environment. In an apostolic environment, focus on heaven. You know, one of the things that we say in Apostle, what he's done, his basic thing is he's seeking what heaven wants, and he's trying to bring that to earth. And when I read through these scriptures, they are operating. These individuals are operating in the kingdom the way God set it up. He said, focus on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, miracles, signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily lives. Signs and wonders, miracles, just like Jesus did when he was here on the earth. We have to be able, so only way we're going to get to that point is we have going to have to continue to meditate and think about what God says. You're going to take the word of God, find out the supernatural scriptures, find out what he says, find out what Jesus did. Do a Joshua 1:8 where it says it should not depart out of the eyes. We are too natural. And, God say you're spirit beings and we should operate spiritually. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not in us, it's in Christ Jesus, but we have to continue to be in him, and then these manifestations will manifest in our lives. The apostolic role is not designed to address directly the needs of the people. That's why when we went over to Acts 6 and those individuals over in Acts 6 where they was neglected in their daily administration, and the apostles had to go out and select those seven table waiters, I call them, Philip and Stephen and that group, and we got those table waiters. Turn to Acts 6 and, you know, read that story sometime and go through that and see what happens. And so because of that, you know, there's some downsides to the apostolic, to the apostles, because people feel like they are being neglected in the things. He's trying to train us to grow up and act in the kingdom like mature citizens of the kingdom. In Acts 6:4, one of the things it says when the needs of the individual, needs of the people, the apostles told him, he said, we will spend our time, turn to Acts 6:4, see what the scripture says about it. He said, we'll spend our time in prayer and in the ministering of the word. So here it is in Acts chapter 6, looking at verse 1. I'm just going to read a couple of them, then I'll get down to it. It says, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, I mean, there's a lot of people. So what he was saying was, you know, everybody are not apostles. So somebody have to take care of the people. And it says, and was multiplied. That was arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. That's their everyday needs. He said, then the 12 apostles called the multitude of the disciples are ones who are learning. They are learners of Jesus. That's what disciples are. And so, as you're learning, then, you know, you don't know everything right now until you mature in the things of God. You're disciples. And so because you're learning about the things of God and the things of the kingdom, eventually you'll get to that point where God said, he's now become mature in those things. He goes on to say, and it was not. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And I use it, around here. It's not, why would we want our apostle to come here early in the morning when people are coming in and go out there and park vehicles, park people when they're coming into the parking lot. See, and so that's basically what they're saying. An apostle cannot do everything. He got to take his time, spend his time seeking God's, finding out what heaven wants and bringing that. That's why we have what we call a helps ministry. We're to help the apostle carry out the vision that God has given unto him. And so, and again, as you're helping the apostle to carry out the vision that God gave to him, then the same anointing that's on that apostle's life should come off on your life. If you are connected properly, you have to be connected. We, one of the ministers during the Prosperity Revival did an awesome demonstration in the spirit of that connection that God is talking about. Everybody who's in a congregation, they connected, and what happens is, as the apostle go, everybody who's connected to that apostle goes that same place. It's just like a locomotive. If you take a train and you hook up the boxcars to the locomotive, you might not get there the same time that the locomotive get there. But if you stay connected, the same place that locomotive passed by, you're going to pass that same place. So if we connect properly, then whatever is on that apostle's life, it should come off on our life. We watch him and we watch. And so what he said, I'm not going to take you through the things that I went through, I'm going to give you shortcuts. And so, you don't have to do all this scuffling and struggling. Just do what I tell you to do. And when you do what I tell you to do, then the same things that I got in my life is going to come off on your life. He says, wherefore, brethren, he said, look out among you, 7 men of honest report, verse 3, full of the Holy Ghost. Criteria, characteristics of a person, of an individual who's operating in the kingdom. He say, full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because in order to operate in the kingdom, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to navigate you through the kingdom. You can't do it on your own. You got to have the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus, that's why he told him, don't leave. Don't leave Jerusalem. He said, tarry ye until you receive that power. And then he's going to help us operate through this kingdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And then the apostles say, but we will spend give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Continually. That means that I'm seeking God. I'm seeking heaven. I'm finding out what heaven wants here. That's what an apostle does. And so now when you come to the sanctuary and you're sitting there, and the apostle have heard from heaven. He've heard from heaven for, if it's 2,000 people out there, he've heard from heaven for every person that's in that sanctuary. Your answer is going to come out of that apostle's mouth. Because why? He's heard from heaven. And so now he's not, he's speaking from heaven what God has said about your situation. And so now that's our basic scripture when we started this class. You go back to Matthew 10 and 41 and say, he that received an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. So that's that reward that's coming out of his mouth for your situation. And so now if you know he's your man of God, then his word, your word is in his mouth. And if your word is in his mouth, then you just can't let it just, fly off and you know, hit on dry ground. You got to receive that word, and then not only have to receive it, you have to do something about it. You can't be just hearers. We got to be able to do this word. So when he says something, he said, take all your bills and ball them up, put them all on a paper and roll them up and, you know, and take it and put it in a trash can. That means that now if he say do that, what he's saying? He's telling you how to operate in the kingdom and what he, you know, the easy way. He heard from heaven, and that's what the Spirit of God told him to do. He'll say, do you want to know what I'm hearing right now? And when he say, you want to know what I'm hearing, he's hearing from heaven. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to take that which comes out of his mouth, and I'm going to write it down. And when I write it down, then I'm going to do? I'm going to apply my faith to it. Well, God, you said that. See, you know, it came out of the apostle's mouth, but I'm going to tell God, he said that. And so if I tell him, he said, and then God said, he said, my word ain't going to return to me void, but it's going to accomplish and it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And since it's going to do that, then guess what? I'm going to do exactly what he say do. And, you know, I ain't going to detour. I ain't going to do anything different, and I'm just going to, you know, then watch God, you know, do what he say he was going to do. Amen. And so let me give you from the some more pointers before I get out of too far from my lesson. He said the increase in needs of the people were a distraction to their role and anointing. So when you try to get, you know, and serve the needs of the people, you know, everybody's coming up on you. Pastor, I need you to pray for this. Apostle, I need you to do this. I need you to come to the hospital. I need you to, you know, marry my daughter. I need you. You see, it's a drain on their anointing. And so that's why, you know, you get those helpers. And you know, people get, you know, a little perturbed when the apostle or when the pastor cannot come out and do all those little trivia things. But you have to realize that, you know, if he did that for everybody, then he wouldn't have no time to seek God for himself and for me, see. And so that's one of the downsides of being an apostle. But we, you know, as we are mature, as we grow up, we're going to understand those, you know, how it happened. And not only that, he's given us enough during service time that we can now, operate in this kingdom on our own. Because why? We are maturing. We need the apostle to continue to mature us. But when life situations come against us, you know, he's given us words what we can do and how to operate. You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, he was telling us things like, you know, we are creating it. We, you know, even though we knew it, but coming out of the apostle's mouth added another ingredients to this thing. You know, we are created in his image. I read it in the scripture. God said, let us create man in Genesis 1:26. And so, but now I hear from the apostle, you know, I'm created in his image. He said we can use that as activators for the supernatural. So when something is not operating, when it's not happening in your life, you can take any one of these activators. He said, the thing is, you if you don't want to say, God, you said this, you said the apostle told me this. And it's just like you telling God himself, he said that, because he's a representative of God. See, he's the one God sent to operate in the kingdom. And like I said, we who are in the kingdom have to get to that point that we understand it. It is not that they did not care about the people, but they made sure that the people need was taken care of in the community by calling those seven table waiters. The apostle has to have freedom to pursue heaven if he or she is going to be effectively going to fulfill an apostolic call. That's what happened to Moses. And his father-in-law came to him. He didn't have the wisdom on the inside of him like we do, because of Jesus is on the inside of us. The kingdom is on the inside of us. But his father-in-law told him, he said, these people are going to kill you, man. You better get you some help. You know, and what he did, he called them seven elders, and God came down and took the spirit that was up on him and put it in those 70 elders so they could operate in the kingdom and operate like Moses did. He said, you know, y'all take care of the trivia stuff. And he said, the hard things, you can bring those to me. Like same way we're set up here at Word Life Christian Center. You know, we got what we call Circle Life Leaders, and we have Master Bearers. And so the hard things that I've brought to the Circle Life Leaders, but if something gets too complicated, then they bring that to the Apostle, and he take care of those situations that the Circle Life Leaders, Master Bearers cannot handle. When an apostle pursues his or her calling without other ministry graces in place, several issues creep into the environment and threaten success for the apostolic leader. So that's why all five of the fivefold ministry graces are operating together. They are not independent of each other. They should be interdependent. That's why a pastor should be set up under an apostolic leader. That apostolic leader is hearing from heaven, finding out what heaven wants. He's bringing that down. The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists all should be under this apostolic government that God himself set up. God is the one who set the government up. And so since he set it up, then we should operate it according to the way he set it up. And so we say, we most of us know many churches or ministries, but we don't see any signs or any wonders. It becomes more like a social club. We come in there, with kingdom of God, it has power. There should be power operating in the church. But it's more like, a frat, a sorority. We come together and we socialize. We come out and the same problems, same situations we brought into it. We walk out with those same problems and same situation. That's not God. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not where the kingdom of God operates. And he gave us enough power to take care of any. Jesus say, 1 John 3:8, what do you say? He said, Jesus, right in the B part, he said, Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so if he was manifesting, he gave us, he told us we could do the same things, then we should be destroying. Whenever the enemy come in and put deception in our lives in any way, we should be able to do the exact same thing that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. A couple more pointers. It said worship and supernatural activity are priorities in the environment and the lifestyle of the saints because God's presence is the top priority. And we try to figure out God's presence is the top priority. So when we come in the morning, the apostle, he gets the praise team and the worship team. What he's doing, he's getting an environment so God's presence can come in to the scene before he ministers the word. And, it gets him in a position, get the congregation in a position to know that God is present. And when God shows up in the situation or in the sanctuary, he don't just come empty handed. He comes with all your answers, whatever you need. And if he got the answers, then all you have to do is just tell him what your plans are, what you see. His protection is there. His provisions is there. His power is there. And so that, I set it up this way. God said, I set it up this way so you can call my presence into my manifested presence. See, he said, I'm not going to leave you, not going to forsake you. So we know when we go out, he's with us. But you want his manifested presence to be there. And that's what worship is about, to bring God's manifested presence on the scene so we can get in his presence and get our needs met. The saints are sent as Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil, including disease, sickness, afflictions, lack, poverty, all that's part of the package of the kingdom. And so, certain areas, we miss part of the package. We jumped on sickness and disease, which was a good thing, but we missed out on the prosperity part of it. So now we are being brought back into that part of the full gospel, the full part. One more scripture before I go, and then I'm going to let you go for this class. Turn to 1 Corinthians 8. I'm sorry, Second Corinthians 8. And look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So, and like I say, this is part of the gospel. This is the good news. And so, like I say, we miss out on some of it. So these are awesome scriptures that we understand about. Like I told you before, when you have a problem about a situation, say, for instance, prosperity, find out what God said about it. Find out how he did it. Find out what he did. Like when he said, and he said, I brought them forth also with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble person in that tribe. That means God said, my desire, my will for you is not to be sick or be healthy and not to be broke, you know, and have plenty. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, looking at verse 9, he say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So if you ever have a problem about whether we should be rich or not, you can go ahead. You can go there and you can read that scripture, man. So I mean, that's just as plain. You don't even have to get any revelation about that one. That one speaks for itself right there. See, Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Father God. We thank you that we are no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, but we have become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.